Well, hey, beautiful people, welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown. And seriously, I am so glad that you are here for today's conversation. If you know anything about me, you know I love the Bible. I love God's Word so much. It is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Y'all, it is our guide, our source for life. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and His Word is infallible. It is so important to our lives as believers, and I literally cannot go a day without Him. Like, ask my friends, ask my family. Seriously, they'll be like, Georgia, you haven't spent time with Jesus today. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I need to go have some quiet time so where His Word will truly wash over me. So maybe you can relate to that. I'm a little better. I'm a lot better when I spend time with Him. And so let me tell you about today's friend. She is a Bible girl too, Sweet Ann White. Ann is an internationally known author, speaker, and passionate Bible teacher. She founded her global ministry, Courage for Life, in 2014 out of a calling to share with others how God and His Word brought restoration to her life and her marriage. Having personally experienced God's grace, salvation, and the changing life power of the Bible, Ann extends the same love, mercy, and encouragement to others so that they too may be reconciled to God. Okay, incredible. She has new Bibles out, Courage for Life Study Bible for women and men. There are so many incredible qualities about these Bibles that set them apart on the shelf and into our hearts. Oh, it just is incredible. We're going to talk about it all today, about courage, about the importance of diving into God's Word, and how to move forward in the face of fear. I love these study Bibles. You can get them anywhere Bibles are sold, but seriously, stay tuned for an incredible episode. I just loved it. We just had the best time. So without further ado, let's just go right ahead and dive right in. Miss Ann, I think this is so fun because both of our last names are colors. You're Ann White and I'm Georgia Brown. We're practically family.
That's exactly right. I love it too.
So sweet. And one thing that also we have in common, first of all, we're daughters of the King, but we both have a love for His Word. And I just thank you for your love for His Word.
You know what? It became a real passion of mine. I spent the first 20, 25 years as a believer not being discipled. And so I really didn't know how rich and amazing and comforting and just all of the great things about God's Word that I discovered it really out of desperation.
And I want to talk about that because I was in church, but I really wasn't reading my Bible. And once I did, it became the most beautiful thing because He is the Word made flesh, and He exalts His Word over Himself. And so tell me about this place of desperation, because I even read in your sweet bio, it says that His Word is what brought restoration to your life and to your marriage. Now, that's a lot in one sentence. I need to hear more.
Okay, awesome. Well, you know, it's kind of started in my early 40s. We moved. At the time, I was going to church locally. I was involved in choir. I was involved in student choir. I just was busy, you know, and so I was doing all what I thought were the right things. And they were good things. But sometimes, I don't know if you've heard this before, but I'm sure you have, the enemy of something great is something good. You get kind of in that routine and you're doing good things, but you're not leaving room for something great that God wants to do in your life. Mm. So He relocated us about 2 hours away from our church. And for a little while I would drive, it got difficult. We looked in the area for another church. None of them just really compared. And I remember just kind of, I was in a kind of a hard place at that point in our life. Our boys were teenagers. Need I say anymore? It was just a hard place where we were in our life. And I remember just saying, God, why did you take me away from the church where I was being fed? Because I really looked and I was being fed there. But I remember God speaking to my heart and saying, because I want to feed you.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really understand that until the next day, a friend invited me to check out Precept Ministries, which is Kay Arthur's ministry in Chattanooga. And we were at that point about 35, 40 minutes from her ministry, she was writing and teaching through the prophets. Now, that's not necessarily where you want to begin when you start studying God's word, but I don't know any better. And so I jumped in with both feet. I think the first book we studied was Daniel. And I was just, my eyes were open and it was amazing. So I began to hunger and thirst for his word. I began to learn his word. And I began healing different parts of my life and my marriage as a process of that. But then he kept bringing me forward. You know, I became a Bible teacher. And as God continued to grow me, he began to reveal other broken areas of my life that needed to be dealt with.
I so resonate with that. It's like he brings us to the point where he says, baby girl, you can't go any further without addressing this. Correct. Sometimes he has to take us out of a place of comfort to bring us the ultimate comfort, which is himself. Amen. And it's uncomfortable. But my star is like, do you look back on those seasons as, what do you, how would you describe looking back on that season?
A gift. I truly do. In fact, today we work with women and men who are incarcerated. And we have several of them say, you know, I thought God brought me here or allowed me to come here to punish me. But I realized after being here that he came here to save me and to change me and to allow me the freedom and opportunity to choose which direction I was going to go. And so I think that happens so many times in our lives. We can be in our own private prison cells, you know, of our own making, things where we make mistakes or we just get so caught up in self-condemnation or judgment on ourselves or whatever it might be, dragging in childhood baggage like I had been doing for so many years. We can pretend on the outside that everything's wonderful in our homes, our marriages, with our kids, whatever. When we go into church, we walk in and we just show everybody what we think they want to see, when in reality, what they really need to see is a real person that is willing to say, I've got struggles and I need somebody to pray for me. I need some help. I need some encouragement. Give me some guidance and direction. That's what many of us are seeking and searching for when we walk through the doors of our churches, not to feel like we need to be perfect because we're not.
Yes, it's not a country club. It's supposed to be a hospital. It's Amen. A body. It is a body. And I think one of the most freeing things in my walk, Miss Ann, has been that realization that I don't have to put on a mask. I don't have to try to be this cookie cutter Christian of what they expect of me or what they would want to see from me, because just being who he designed me to be and discovering who that is in and out of every season, college, post-grad, now young adult, it's like, wow, he loves me for just me and he wants to heal my hurts. And so the best place to do that is his word. And I feel like sometimes we run from it.
Yeah. We run from it because it's intimidating, or it can be. That was my case. For many years, I would carry my Bible to church and let the pastor, you know, describe a particular passage. And I would always get something out of it. I always felt better when I left. But when I took it home, I set it on the counter or on my shelf because I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't think I could understand it. And so out of that desperation, when I went to precept and sat under Kay Arthur's teaching, I began for the first time to learn to study, understand, and apply God's word to my life in practical ways. And as I began to understand how God has woven his word throughout history, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is a complete story written by multiple authors over thousands of years, over thousands of miles of territory. And yet they were divinely inspired so that all of it fits together like an amazing historical puzzle that has incredible lessons to be learned for our life. We can take the lives of these men and women who have journeyed with the Lord before us and journeyed through this difficult life, and we can learn and we can find out how did they handle these difficult situations? How did they respond to God? How did God respond to them? Yeah. Because he's the same God today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. So how he responded to David with some correction but also love and compassion and calling him a friend of God. He had a heart for the Lord, but he wasn't perfect. Neither was Abraham. And take Peter. There are so many accounts in the Bible that can give us encouragement when we feel like we've blown it.
Truly, because I think so many people stay away because they think, I need to clean up my mess before I come to God. But when you read his word and read it, because like growing up, if you were to say those names, I'd maybe know one Bible story. But now that I've read them and I know about Abraham moving before God moving, David committing adultery, knowing, you know, the lives of these people, like Peter denying him, like there's so many things. It's like, my gosh, if God can forgive them.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, there's hope for me. And Amen. It's so beautiful to discover that and to have the revelation that he is the same. And what he does for one man, he does for another, that his word is true, it is alive and active. And I think it's so beautiful. The Lord's so kind that in our own stories, like for you, Miss Ann, you just were wanting more. Like literally out of a place of desperation, wanted his actual word through precepts, through learning, now being a Bible teacher. Now you literally have taken all that and have said, okay, I'm bursting at the seams. I need to share this.
Yes.
And I'm literally sitting before me. I have the Courage for Life study Bible for men and women. Like, this is huge. Like, seriously.
Oh, it has been such a journey, Georgia. I can't tell you just how amazing it has been in the short amount of time that we have today, but I'm going to try and give you just a quick overview of the last 9 years. Oh. So in 2012, God got a hold of me. I was a Bible teacher, had been teaching God's word for years at that point and was diving in. But God revealed to me that I was still walking in isolation and kind of just hiding some of the things that I had dealt with as a child. And it was really wreaking havoc in my relationships. It was very difficult for me to let go of some of the pain and hurt that I didn't even know was bothering me, but it was coming out in, you know, just attitude or behavior or just hurt or insecurities and all of the above. So I went into counseling, and then from that, I learned how to unpack those baggages. God allowed me to find a godly counselor, pastor who helped me to really break down what I was dealing with, which was codependency. It was boundary issues. There was, you know, just a lot of insecurities and things that I was dealing with that I was masking. I really thought I was courageous. I thought I can take on the world. I can handle any situation. But God, again, in 2012, brought me to the end of myself so that I could move forward in an even bigger way. And as I went into counseling and began learning so much, I began to say, I can't be the only one who's a Bible teacher, who's in his word, but still struggling, still holding on to things that are keeping me from living a courageous faith life. I spent more time really living in my fears, like fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of abandonment, all of these fears that so often we make our decisions based on. That was where I was. And God did not give me a spirit of fear. He didn't want me to live in a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was in the middle of all of this, trying to break all of this down. And I remember the Lord telling me to birth a ministry. I just felt it in my spirit. And I remember telling a friend of mine, and they said, you are doing ministry. You're a Bible teacher. You do this at church, da, da, da. And I said, no, there's something different. It's supposed to be a nonprofit ministry. I have no clue what it's going to be, but I know the Lord's telling me to do this. So I birthed the nonprofit. I knew I was to help people that were hurting. At the time, I thought it was women, and it is still women, but it's also included men in our ministry now, but women that were hiding their hurts, and it was keeping them in a fearful state and not being able to live the abundant life that God's calling them to live. I was doing that. And so fast forward, God brought me on a journey of writing a book called Courage for Life that explains the steps that I went through to go from a fear-based decision making to truly faith-based, just trusting God. I learned that true courage is taking a necessary risk and trusting God with the outcome. Mm-hmm. Knowing that God's calling me to change something and do it with the understanding that I may not have all the answers and I may not know what the exact outcome is, but if the Lord is calling me to take steps in a particular direction, then I need to have the courage to do so and I need to trust Him. So yeah. That was where my journey began with the ministry Courage for Life. It began with the book Courage for Life, the foundation of the 7 steps to courage. And from that, we began going in and helping women at that time that were incarcerated, that had a lot of trauma, that were dealing with a lot of issues, helping them break down some of the trauma and the self-condemnation that was keeping them from being closer to the Lord, and then discipling them in God's word. That has created an entire ministry where we provide free resources that are donated by donors to prisons all throughout the United States. We also developed the first female voiced audio Bible because many of our women experiencing trauma, that's very difficult for them to listen to God's word in a male voice.
Wow. So
we got together with Tyndale and got together with a production company. We raised all of the money to do this. And in 2017, we released the Courage for Life audio Bible that can be downloaded on any Apple or Android device. It's also attached to the Bible. If you're familiar with the Filament app, we can talk about that too. But mm-hmm. Our Courage for Life Women's Bible attaches via the Filament app to our Courage for Life female voice audio Bible. We've done that in Spanish now. We have books and workbooks for emotional healing and spiritual growth. We do discipleship digitally and online and on tablets throughout the prison system. Mm-hmm. And then God said to me, or I really felt the need for a true discipleship Bible, a Bible that an inmate or anyone who desires to grow in God's word or understand it can pick it up and they can sit down with God's word and they can read it and it be put into context by the introductions and given a lesson on every single scripture page where they can apply and understand God's word and apply it to their lives in practical ways. So we've incorporated a lot of really practical, helpful tools in this Bible that can help someone, whether they're discipling someone or whether they're just reading God's word for themselves, they can actually be discipled by the content in this Bible.
I'm just so grateful. It's so powerful. Thank you for your life's dedication to God's word and the going forth of the gospel for women that are literally in actual prison cells or women in prison cells that don't even realize they're in chains and shackles of shame, mm-hmm. condemnation, unforgiveness, bitterness, self-hatred, self-rejection, all the things. Like, yeah. It is so real. And I think for so long, we've tried to run away from it until it either puts us in a place where we have to deal with it or we bring ourselves to our knees and we say, we're done running. And the ultimate healer, the only one that can deal with all this is King Jesus and his word. And I'm just so passionate about the actual Bible. I think it's so incredible to have Bible studies, devotionals. I mean, I've written one myself. You write as well. You teach. Like, we love it. We love all the things, but we know that we are nothing compared to the alive and active word of the scriptures that are truly infallible. And it doesn't return to him void. And so I'm grateful that on every page, there is help and answers to all of our questions because the Bible can be intimidating. So mm-hmm. many Bibles, when I remember growing up, first of all, they weren't cute. You would open it up and the print would be so small. There was no commentary. And so you've literally given us the ultimate guide in one place. You have the Bible study, like you said, on every page, reflection questions. Hello, women love that. Encouragement profiles on the courageous men and women through scripture. So you mm-hmm. actually get to know who they were. It's not just a fictional character. No, these are our family in the faith, topical index. And let's talk about the Filament Bible app for our yep. friends that may not be familiar with that. Because I know I'm a little high-tech redneck sometimes, so I'm still trying to figure out stuff.
You know what? It's so incredible. I was just amazed when Tyndale showed me this opportunity and offered us the opportunity to include the filament in with this Bible. So it's just an app that you download on your phone. It looks just like this. I can hold
so
it.
Cute, little, like a little yellow square. Cuteness.
Yes. So you download that on your phone. And then when you go into your Bible on like the second page, after you get past the to and from, there is a QR code. So right up here at the top of the page, once you open up your app, it's going to say, let's get started. Uh-huh. And when you scan this, it connects the Filament app to your actual Courage for Life Bible. Then inside of that, when you go on each page of the Filament Bible, you'll see right by the page number, it's teeny tiny, but beside of the page number is this little bitty diamond. And in your Filament app, you'll hit the search, you'll scan it and hold it right over that little diamond beside the page number, and it will give you content for that particular page of the Bible. Maps, other resources, commentary, there's thousands and thousands of resources. So if you want to go deeper than the pray, observe, interpret, and apply that's at the bottom of the page that you know, has pulled out for a Bible lesson for the day, so to speak, you can find out so much content that helps you really put God's word into context. It can be overwhelming, but I say you just start in small bites first.
Yeah.
And then this Bible is, I love having a lot of Bibles because I love different translations. I love to read from one to the other and look at different commentaries and helps. But truly, if you had to have just one Bible, and this is very true for the people that are incarcerated, of course, they can't do the QR codes, but if you have to have just one Bible, this is full of content that can help you read on your own, study on your own, apply God's word on your own, and learn from the word.
Yes. And the translation is a great one as well. The New Living, I think, is so incredible. I like, like you, I love lots of Bibles and I'm like, I want all the translations, but this thought for thought translation is so easy for me to understand. I definitely recommend it. And so I'm really grateful that that's what your Bible is in that translation.
Yes, we have been very blessed. It's a translation that is very helpful for our audience, but it's also a translation that's theologically incredibly sound.
Yes.
It's really interesting how Tyndale was started, you know, and so that's a whole nother story within itself, but it was really out of a passion to help people understand God's word, to bring it into a common language, because at the time, the main language was the King James, and it's a beautiful language, but it's very formal. And so what Tyndale and many of these other Bible companies have done, they went back to the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is closest translation to the original scrolls of the Hebrew and, you know, text, that they went to that and translated the word into what we have today, which is a modern English language. And it is truly incredible. I can tell you it's life-changing.
It really is. And it is done beautifully too. And I really think that this is important because for this to be the most beautiful book, a love story, a roadmap, a family history book, an actual history book of context of truly creation, my gosh, the outside should totally reflect the inside. And you have done that with such class. And honestly, like a timeless look for men and women. Like, let's just take a minute for the men listening. My gosh, I know all of us got like a grandpa or a brother or a dad or an uncle or some man in their life to give this Bible to for Christmas. My stars, this lion on here, I love it. And I love the Bible verse on the back. Like this whole thing is incredible. It's so intentional. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Proverbs 28:1. That was intentional, Miss Anne. I know that was.
Absolutely. All of it was. I worked with an incredible team at Tyndale. I actually was there a couple of weeks ago speaking to the sales team, and it was so interesting and wonderful to meet the designers who designed all the different versions. They're beautiful. Some of the leather-like versions, I've got one here in the blue leather-like.
I love the blue.
Mm. You can get it in pink as well. And then you can get the hardback and paperback. And then the men's comes in a brown or black leather that's very masculine. And the main difference, and what's interesting, because one of the questions the sales team had for us was, what's the difference between the Courage for Life Study Bible for women and the Courage for Life Study Bible for men? And all the lessons are practically the same. And I say that because what we did, I wrote the lessons and we created all the content for the Study Bible for women first. And then Tyndale, in looking at it, said, this is wonderful. We think it needs to also be in a men's version. What do you think that would consist of? And my comeback to them was, I really don't think it'll be all that difficult. And here's why. If you're teaching on grace or boundaries or forgiveness or whatever, you know, a lot of that context is the same for men as it is for women. You're not going to have all of these lessons really could almost go either way, but you might speak to a man differently than you would a woman. So we got together the men's team, and I also got a hold of our president, who was the president of our board of directors for Courage for Life for many years, Robbie Goss. And he's an incredible man of God and helped us to go through it along with the men's Bible team at Tyndale. We went through every single lesson and we put it in a male voice. And we also changed any that were more specific for women, or if we came to something, say, for example, the lesson of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Well, you and I know that that really is it's a powerful lesson on how Jesus really relates to every woman and speaks and loves women. And so, but it can be a different lesson for a man, even though it's still relating to discipleship, but also on how they see women in their life. Yeah. So we would maybe look at some of those lessons, and from a male perspective, we would bring in a male voice and put it that way. So a lot of times husbands and wives will be able to study, they will be able to study all through the Bible together and discuss the Bible together, which is really a beautiful thing. So we're super excited about both of these versions. In the women's Bible, you mentioned the Courageous Women of Faith. Those are women of the Bible, women of history, and women in our culture today, like Joni Erickson-Tada, Kay Arthur, Sherry Rigby. Yeah. Some of the women who have taken courageous faith steps in their lives, gone through difficult things, and we can learn from their histories, whether it's the women of the Bible or women in history like Rosa Parks, we can take courageous steps in our own lives. So we're inspired by those 82 courageous women of faith. In the men's Bible, 82 courageous men of faith. And we chose men from the Bible, of course, but men of history, John Wesley, there was a lot of them. Then you take today, you've got, I was sitting here just trying to think all of the ones that we had, but we have Jeremy Camp, Kurt Warner, we have Sir Isaac Newton, and, you know, you just go on and Truett Cathy. Think about all of the men and women that have walked this journey before us that can inspire us to embrace our God-given courage for life.
It is so important, and it really stirs us on to keep going. And I'm just so grateful for the word courage within your ministry and all what it has taken on the life to exemplify for us. I love Googling words, Miss Anne, because sometimes we think we know what it means, but we're so quick to like rush over them. And honestly, that'll preach with my own Bible study time too. I'm like, wait, I've read this word my whole life, but let's take a minute. So I Googled courage just real quick before we hopped on, and the definition is so sweet to rest in. There's two that just really are incredible. The ability to do something that frightens someone.
Amen.
And also strength in the face of pain and grief.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the courage that we can have for this life, for this abundant life, for this new life with Jesus. And it's all found in his word. And golly, so can you just tell us for a minute the action steps for courage that you have so graciously? It's in the Bible, but I just want to hear about it.
Absolutely. And it became the foundation. They were the steps I took to begin a courageous faith walk with the Lord. The first step is the C step. and that is commit to change. There's always something God's calling us to change. It might be our attitude, or it might be something more significant, like we need to change a relationship or we need to change jobs. You know, there's something God wants us to make a move on. But then the O step comes in. The O step in courage is overcome obstacles. There's going to be obstacles. I was reading the other day in the book of Job, and Job 5:7 says, man was born for trouble. That's an understatement. Yeah. So we need courage, but there are going to be obstacles. Satan's in our way. He's going to throw things, people, attitudes, our own fears. We got to identify our obstacles to that change, and we need to learn how to overcome them. So in the book, Courage for Life, we have a whole chapter on that. In the Bible, we talk about that commit to change and how we overcome obstacles. And we look at how the men and women of the Bible had things they needed to change and obstacles they needed to overcome. And we can learn from that. The U step in courage is uncover your true self. That's the identity piece. That's where we see ourselves as God sees us, not as the world sees us, and not how we see ourselves, because we can be our own worst enemy and worst critic at times. And then we go to the R step, which I love. And then we put that in the top right-hand corner of most every scripture page. It's called replace worldly lies with scriptural truth.
So good.
Yes, the world wants us to believe so many lies about who we are, about who God is, what life is, what we're to do. We need to be able to know God's word and replace those lies with the truth. And so we can rest in the truth. Mm-hmm. The A step can be a difficult one. That's accept the things you cannot change.
Ooh.
You know, I always thought I could change everybody else. I could change my kids. I could change my husband. I could change everything. When in reality, there was really only one person I could change. That was me. But when I started changing, when I looked at the things in my life, the attitudes and things that God wanted me to change, and I began working on that and working through those obstacles, everything around me began to change, because people notice a difference and they begin to change with you. Most of the time.
Yeah.
We can pray for that. But the G step, grasp God's love for you. We need to just truly quit condemning ourselves and grasp that God loves us unconditionally. And there's nothing we could do that would ever change his amazing, unfathomable love for us. He loves us unconditionally. He wants us to do better. We're going to have consequences when we mess up, but it's not going to change his love for us. We can never lose that. And then our E step is embrace a life of grace. And that is our forgiveness piece, where we embrace grace for ourselves. We embrace God's grace. And then in turn, we need to give grace to those who have hurt us. We need to embrace grace for others, because we're all human. We're all sinners in need of a savior. And some people are more broken than others. And broken people hurt people. That's a saying that I always say, hurt people hurt people.
Me too.
Does not make it right, but at least you can have more grace for that person. You may need to set a healthy boundary for someone who's being verbally abusive, or, whatever they're doing to you to bring you down or to hurt you or to wound you. Yeah, you might have to set a healthy boundary, but you can let go of that unforgiveness. You can let go of that pain and say, it shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But I can pray for them, set a boundary, but I don't need to hold on and harbor this bitterness that I have anymore, because they're human and they're hurting and they need Jesus just like I do.
Truly, truly. And that has been such a big transformational click light bulb moment in my life of realizing the only thing that I can control is my actions and my reactions, and how I can truly be better for everybody else and for the Lord is to prioritize my relationship with him and his word and let it renew me from the inside out, because this is the only book that when you read it, it reads you right back. And sometimes it's not what you want to hear, but it's what you need. And I love that you've broken down courage. I have it here in the Bible and I think it's incredible. I'm going to write this down, Miss Ann. Like, these are things that I need to like have in front of me on my desk to just realize, like, embracing grace and forgiveness. These are all biblical principles that can help us live out a life of strength in the face of pain and grief and heal and not bleed on people that didn't cut us.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. You know, I go through these steps every, you know, you can go through them every day because it's something new every day. And I always say courage is a choice. It's a daily choice.
Yeah.
You're not going to become courageous in your faith or in anything else you're doing. And it's going to just be that way 24/7. It is a daily choice. And what you said about the definition earlier, it is having strength in the face of pain and dealing with something that frightens you. If you know the Lord's calling you to something, and this is a definition that I came up with just out of my studies and really life experience, is that courage truly is taking a necessary risk and trusting God with the outcome.
Yeah.
If God's calling us to do something and we know it's necessary to do this, we're frightened, we don't know how it's going to turn out, it's going to be hard. But we know the Lord wants us to make this move in a positive direction, then we need to have the courage to trust him with the outcomes on that. We take that risk. We take those steps forward. Sometimes it's baby steps and it's one step at a time, but we take those steps and we continue to move forward.
Yes. And I can just so testify to that because, my gosh, when it comes to faith, like, we can't please him without faith. And it takes courage to take that just that first step, stepping out of the boat and onto the water, or saying yes to, you know, that friendship or going to that Bible study, or yes to moving away from a church you've loved for so many years, or moving away from your family for the first time to go to a college that, you know, you thought didn't make sense, but that's exactly where the Lord needed you. And so it is all about obedience. And truly, my pastor says this often, it's so true, God's not looking for someone he can bless. He's looking for someone he can trust. And so with that trust comes a courageous life lived in obedience and walking in faith. And so with studying his word, it gives us the courage to step out in faith. And so I love this. Like, even just talking about this, Miss Ann, gets me so excited and encourages me to keep going. It makes me want to read the Bible more, for real.
Well, we need it. I mean, we need it in our lives every day because we can wake up. We need courage for such a time as this. We live in a world where there's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of isolation, a lot of wounding, especially for people of faith. I mean, there's persecution in the world is a real thing. And granted, the United States, we don't have the persecution that many other countries face. Many other men and women who are Christians in very hostile environments, they face very physical persecution, but we still face it. We face a lot of it just in the attitudes of unbelievers. And we can be courageous in how we are Jesus with, you know, with skin on, how we are Jesus in the boardroom, Jesus, you know, in the grocery store. How we respond speaks volumes, and people notice when we don't react. You talked about, you know, having to keep up with your actions, reactions, and so forth. That's so important. For every action, there's a reaction, but we can control that when we're in God's word and we start with his word and grounded in that truth for the day. It really sets the stage for us to be courageous in how we respond and not let our human side, which is going to happen quite often, does for me, take over, and we just react and we snap back and say something we regret or do something we regret. You know, we're never going to get it perfect. No one in the Bible ever did. And I think that's why God gives us this word to remind us that we're human. If we could get it right, there would be no need for Jesus to die on the cross. But God came, God sent his one and only son so that we would know if we believed in him and received him as our Lord and Savior, that we would have eternal life. And with him, he may not rescue us from our pain and our suffering, our struggles for the day, but he's going to walk with us every step of the way.
I'm just so grateful for that reality. And you just really reminded me, like, in the boardroom or wherever you are at the grocery store, you truly could be the only Bible that someone reads. And so, you know, what translation would they be reading? Do you know his word to reflect it? And so, Miss Ann, we need these Bibles in our lives. This is a great Christmas present, stocking stuffer. Where can we find the Courage for Life Study Bible?
Oh, you know what? You can find them anywhere where wonderful Bibles are sold. Tyndale has them marketed all over. You can also find them on our website at courageforlife.org. We certainly sell them off of our website, and we'd love to have you follow us on Instagram and Facebook, find out more about our discipleship. We have video teaching on the YouTube channel. Right now, I'm also teaching on InTouch Plus, which is another distribution channel for, I'm teaching through the study of John. Ooh. And I'm going to continue all of that. So, you know, there's a lot of other resources, ways you can connect with us on the Courage for Life audio Bible on your Apple or Android device and start listening. You know, when I'm in the car or I'm getting my makeup on and I don't have time to sit down with my Bible that I want to read, I do that as well, but I can listen. You know, I can jump in and after I've read the book of whatever, you know, that I'm in for John, so to speak, I can listen to it while I'm driving in the car, and it just continues to encourage me for my day. And it just really sets the day, sets the pace for the day, and puts me on the right footing.
Yes. Amen. I need it right first thing in the morning. And so y'all, all the links are in the show notes below because we need this in our life. And oh, Miss Ann, thank you again. I just can't thank you enough for your yes and for your life and for your story and the way that you've overcome. And you truly exemplify, hey, you can do this too. And let me point you to the people in the Bible who did it as well. So thank you. We love you. And I can't wait, y'all. We're going to be giving these Bibles away. We have a Courage for Life men's study Bible and women's study Bible. So be on the lookout on my Instagram at I am Georgia Brown. So thank you, Miss Ann, for your life's work.
It's been great being with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, y'all, I hope that you had such a sweet time with us today. I am so grateful that we got to have this time with Miss Ann. As you know, this month in November, I'm sharing my favorite people and products with you that I think would be an incredible addition to your Christmas season. I can't think of a better gift to give someone than God's Word. Let me tell you a little something special about why I'm so passionate about this. Y'all, when I was 16, my best friend, Emma May, she gifted me my first big girl Bible. It was pink and purple softcover leather. I will never forget it. I opened it up. The first two pages, she wrote me a two-page letter in the most beautiful handwriting with color. And then she went through and literally highlighted a verse in every chapter of the Bible. 66 books this girl went through and highlighted a verse. And oh my gosh, on Psalm 1, she drew the most beautiful tree planted by streams of living water. It was so beautiful. And I opened it up and it took me aback. I couldn't believe someone would love me that much to invest into my spiritual walk with the Lord. And so seriously, I cannot think of a better gift to give someone this Christmas season. You've got one for men and women. So if you want to grab one of these sweet Bibles, the link is down in the show notes along with all of the other incredible things that Miss Ann talked about that she is involved in and invested in her ministry. Y'all, I love you so much, and I just pray that you would hunger and thirst for his word. And so that is my prayer for you today. I would just love to pray for you before we go our separate ways. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your one and only son to live a perfect and sinless life, to then die the death on a cross, to then 3 days later raise again to truly defeat sin, death, hell, and the grave so that we don't have to be separated from you. Thank you for grace and for salvation. And we love your word, God. And I just pray that us, this generation, your children, would hunger and thirst for righteousness, for your word, and that we would have truly wisdom and discernment in this hour because it's crazy out here, Lord. I know you know that, but you've called us to this time for such a time as this. So I pray that we would have courage in the face of a culture and generation that is truly trying to be truth, trying to claim their own truth and trying to claim their own identities when all truth and identity is found in our Creator, you, Lord God. And so I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to deeper understanding and revelation of who you are. So I thank you for your word. I just pray that your word, God, would get into the hands of your people, that you would burn on our hearts just a desire to share you, to share your word, and to invest into your people through your word. So we love you, God. I just pray a hedge of protection over all of our friends, and I can't wait to see them again. I armor them up in the spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of gospel peace, the sword of the spirit, and the shield of faith. Oh, God, I thank you for the sword of truth, which is your word. So, Lord, bless Anne White and her beautiful ministry. And we love you so much. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all, thank you so much for joining me this week. I cannot wait to see you next week. We're going to have another faith-filled, fun conversation about something that I just love, that I really want to share with you for your holiday season. I'm grateful for you as we celebrate this month of gratitude. Oh, an attitude of gratitude should be our heart posture all year round. Seriously. Oh, love you so much. Seriously, do not forget. Until I see you next week, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is important.